to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crow, and with me on this edition is Thaxos.
Hey, hey.
Frost.
Yellow.
Misha Kitty.
Hello.
Pinocchio.
Hello.
And our special guest for this month is Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club Allure, Old Vart.
Welcome.
All right, so, I'm just going to call you Rob, if that's cool.
Hey, that's
like,
cool,
I don't want to just constantly call you old.
You're revealing his secret identity, though.
Is it though?
Is it really? He signs every PM with Rob.
Just call me Rob. Fine.
Main question that I got for you to start this off with is, you are the, like I said, the Allure for the club that, as far as the Mercs hierarchy goes, technically puts you at the, as the number two in the club, sort of, the weird way that we work. What do you actually do? What is your quote-unquote day job for the Mercs?
Well, my day job for the Mercs is more or less a disciplinarian, or in the vernacular of the gangsters, I'm the enforcer, if you want to call it. basically just quelling any arguments, any issues, any problems between people who are, say, for instance, they're on the trading station, people buy items and don't receive them, from the producers or what have you. That's just basically what I do. I'm a mediator. It takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of feeling, I guess you could say, to be able to deal with all these different types of people, you know. So that's basically what I do. That, supposedly run the council. Of course, the council does a good job of pretty much running itself. Everybody there knows what they're doing, and they do their job well, so there's not really a whole lot for me to do, even though that's part of my job description.
Nice.
And if I remember right, you actually were one of the founding members of the BBC. Is that correct?
That's correct. Way back in 2006 is when I first heard about the Mercs. Heard from another fellow who was a member at the time. He was the only Florida member, or he was the only member in Florida, put it that way, before we had a clan. And I just happened on him one day. He was doing a charity event. He was standing out by the highway as we drove by wearing Mandalorian armor. And I told the wife, I said, you know, that's really awesome. I got to turn around and go talk to this guy. And she said, oh, you're crazy. And I said, no, I got to go talk to him. So I spun the car around, went back and talked to him, and come to find out, he was relatively new to it to himself. And, but he introduced me basically to Tom and to a few people that were already in the club. And he told me about DragonCon, which was coming up. And I said, you know what? It sounds like a pretty cool deal there. So we'll give it a shot. So we built three sets of armor for me and my two sons, for the next year. It was 2007, DragonCon. And, we put three suits together in about 3 months. And helmets and all, everything scratch built. And DragonCon in 2007 was our first major event. That's where I met Tom and the rest of the gang that was in there at the time. Some of those people are no longer in there, in the club any longer, but it was a great thing. And then it wasn't too much longer after that, maybe about a month later, Tom sent me an email and said, hey, you know, what do you think about starting the clan of Florida? And I said, hey, why not? Let's go for it. So when we started, it was me, my two sons, and the other fella, Herman. He's also no longer with us, but it was just the four of us, and that's kind of how it started. And we just took it from there. We did a lot of local events, comic book stores, and we did some local cons, the Ancient City Con, and it was another one we did at the time. And it just kind of grew from there, you know. Next thing you know, more people were jumping on board, and here we are today. So, yeah. It's been a fun ride, you know.
As someone who's a member of the Florida clan, it's really amazing to me that you started with, you know, basically two people and your family, because I feel like we should definitely
gotta acknowledge that. yeah
Yeah,
they're not people, but that's, I understand where you're coming from.
Just a shout out. But yeah, like, I really, I think that it's just amazing that you've been able to really grow and, you know, nurture the Florida clan. And I think that for, you know, we have some clans that are smaller, some clans that are growing. And I know we have members that are out there that, you know, maybe it's just them. Maybe they're in the Freelancers Guild, or maybe they're in an area where it's just one person. And I've had people say to me, like, oh man, you know, you have that big clan, but you're really a testament to the fact that just one person can really grow that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I tell people who ask, and I get the occasion, you know, occasionally I get this question, you know, and I tell them that it's really not about numbers. It's not about quantity. It's about the quality. You know, first of all, you do it for fun. That's first and foremost, whether you do it for charity reasons or you do it for personal reasons. And let's face it, a lot of us do this, and I'll be the first to admit it, it's an ego thing. Enjoy dressing up in a costume. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm 50 some odd years old, but it's fun. You know, the charity is a nice byproduct, obviously, but that's how I got started, is because I wanted to stroke my ego, basically. And but the point was, you know, to take your time and don't worry that there's not 30 or 40 of you. Just do what you can do, you know, and if you have fun, it'll infect other people, so to speak, and they'll say, hey, you know, that's pretty cool. And then they'll check into the club, and some people, you know, like it, some people don't. Obviously, I've had people come for a while and try it out and then decide, no, that's not for them, you know, and that's fine. But yeah, like you just said, you can't start at the top of the ladder. You know, you have to start at the bottom and go up. And the key thing to remember is to keep it fun, because if it's no more, you know, if it's not fun, then why do it? You know, mm-hmm. And I guess that's true of anything. But that's how we started. It was just a love of Star Wars, obviously. I mean, we could have been anything. We could have been Jedi or what have you. But, you know, something that the Mandalorians, and it's got to be the helmet, I'm pretty sure, is what allured me to it. You know, because I could act like, you know, I can be someone else, so to speak, with this helmet on. Yeah, exactly. Somebody cool, and other than my just normal respectable fat self who goes to work every day, you know, middle-aged guy. So, but anyway.
So okay. Of all those options, you chose to be old?
Yeah, actually, there's a funny story about that. I had actually solicited on the early Mercs for a name, because at the time I was just using Rob, I think, or something, you know. And I can't remember if I was talking to John Garrow, it was someone anyway, about that. And, you know, they were tossing names around, and he suggested Old Bar. And I thought, you know what? That's great. You know, so actually at Dragon Con 2007 is when I debuted the name to buy the tickets. I didn't buy my tickets ahead of time like an idiot. I waited until I got there. So my wife stood in the queue for like 2.5 hours to get the tickets. And at the point, well, I had filled out my name is Old Bart. And sure enough, you know, when my turn to pick up the tickets, the will call, you know, the people, they're going, hey, Old Fart, your tickets are here. And she said the whole place just, you know, burst out laughing. So, you know,
nice.
I knew it was a sign then. So, you know, that's how kind of how I got started. So.
Awesome.
So I was actually named by my fellow Mercs, if that's any consolation.
Nice.
At the time, I was
the oldest guy in here, but not any longer. I think there are people maybe older than me now, but at the time, I was the oldest.
Oh, no, you're probably in the top 10%.
Well,
don't sell yourself short.
Okay, no,
still
you
young. By,
yeah. I'll hit you with my cane if you were anywhere near me.
Well, as a Florida transplant, it's kind of nice to hear the history there. I've been in Pensacola for a year now, so.
Yeah, how do you like it down there?
Oh, we're staying. We like it here.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, well, we have a few added Florida troops there, Pinocchio. So until you actually come to a Florida troop, you can't claim Florida residency. I'm sorry.
Robin,
I didn't see that in the bylaws. Sorry.
You live down near Orlando, right?
Hang on, let me go edit those.
Well, you know, actually, there's an unwritten rule that if you're in Florida and you sweat, you're officially a member of the BBC.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you guys do your membership. It's a little
bit
like
that.
So then everyone that was at Celebration 5 or 6 is already part of the BBC.
That's exactly right. Honorary.
Wait, does that mean I'm in the BBC now?
Everyone but you.
And you perspired.
It's the only way that they keep their numbers higher than Arizona's, from what I hear.
Exactly. They don't sweat in Arizona.
Clearly. No one sweats in Arizona.
I can say there's some truth to that, because we were saying the other day, oh, wow, it's gotten so much cooler, and then we look, it's 92 degrees. So,
Well, I'm glad
it's
you
not,
like it.
It's not that just is. A joke.
To be fair, you guys do get that ocean breeze coming in most of the time. Or Gulf breeze, I guess.
Gulf
just
breeze.
Hotter.
Gulf
well, you
breeze.
Know, we're only, what, I don't know, 90 miles wide or something like that. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it just flies right on over.
But
and
you guys are still like six
Your highest
six
point
south
is like
me.
60 feet up. So.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're not setting any records down here other than the heat. That's about it.
Gators.
State bird is the mosquito.
Yes, that's
Maine's is the black fly. It's all about the same.
So it's
realistically,
really
it's probably the cardinal.
It's not.
What? No, it's not. It's the mockingbird.
Is it really? Oh, wait,
yes.
I would expect you to know.
Mocking.
No, that's right. Like you work with nature.
And
that's
birds
my,
and shit.
It's kind of my job. You know, interestingly... Tangent. Interestingly, a group of children tried to get it changed to the Florida Scrub Jay, but they had all these signatures and petitions. It was like the second grade class, and it got voted down by our state government because Florida Scrub Jay is a protected species. It's actually an endangered species, and they were afraid that if they changed that to our state bird, it would affect development.
Wow.
What? Oh, wow.
What?
Okay,
what?
Then.
The more you know. So
development of what?
The habitat that the bird lived in, because it lives in scrub habitat, which is pretty rare, but it's also like in high demand to be developed. So they were afraid that if they made that the state bird, then it would be even harder to develop those areas.
Well, yeah,
so
if it's not swamp in Florida,
the
wildlife, it's, yeah.
So they
yeah.
Okay, so Rob,
yes, ma'am.
As a member of the council, you know, it's always for me anyway. It's always exciting to have a member of the council on the podcast because I don't know if a lot of our members really truly get an idea of just how hard each and every one of you works. And there are, and it's volunteer, correct? Like no one's paying you.
That's true. Like the Sean, actually, I should probably tell you about that. So he's on the council also. You know, we. I don't know what kind of stories he's been telling you behind our backs, but no.
Nothing good. Everything bad.
Something about a mansion.
He's a good man.
Wait, Sean's on the council? Sean told us that, yeah, he got a mansion and a pony.
And a yacht.
What?
A yacht, yeah.
Well, you
but
know,
they were all Canadian.
They've taken advantage of the old man. That's what happened.
Which means that they're worth like.
Give him a bottle of
aspirin,
you know, and a wheelchair, and just put him in the corner.
But as I said, they are Canadian mansions, so they're worth like 0.68 American mansions.
That's about right. Yeah.
But to answer your question, yes, it's all volunteer. We volunteer all our time and all our effort, you know, free of charge. And but we do it because we love to do it. I mean, I do it for that reason. You know, I like to help people when I can. You know, there's no joy in some of the disciplinary actions we have to take, but you know, everything happens for a reason. And it's just nice to be able to help a club like this move along and you know, gain momentum and just keep climbing higher. You know, I don't want to say we'll ever be a 501st, and not that we want to be honest with you. I like the Mercs just the way it is, as far as the path that we've chosen, and I'll be glad if it continues on. You know.
That's awesome. If someone has a problem in the club, like you've mentioned several times that you're kind of the enforcer and you deal with disciplinary actions, but I'm not sure if everybody really has kind of an idea of what that means. And certainly, you know, we don't need you to like tell us nitty gritty secret, super secret things, but I just mean like, I don't know how else to say that. I'm sorry. But I mean,
we waterboard people. That's what we do.
That's true. Actually,
Rob, I coached you on this, Rob. The proper comment is no comment.
The proper comment is enhanced interrogation techniques. That's what
I'm diverging from the script. I'm sorry, Sean.
there's no script.
I'll say
the word glamorous. Glamorous is not a good word. It sounds more intriguing than what it really is. I'll be honest with you, over 1,000+ members that we have in this club, I only have to deal with a small handful of people who, you know, for whatever reason want to become miscreants, and not all of them are severe. Some of them are pretty simple. A lot of it's just social awkwardness or not really knowing how to handle themselves in public, whether that be in public or on media page or what have you. Those are the type of people I have to deal with a lot of times. Most of the time, it's mainly mediation. I'm the go-between guy. I'll try to get the two people to talk. Sometimes they don't want to. sometimes it's just a miscommunication. And as the third man in the group, you know, that does help the process along sometimes. Whenever they know someone else is listening, you know, someone in council has an ear to what's going on. That does tend to be a little bit of leverage that I can use, you know. But it's not, like I said, it's not like I'm sitting around with this big band hammer all the time, you know, waiting to swing it at someone. For the most part, like I said, I would have to say 95% or maybe even 97% of the mercs, you know, they costume, they have a good time, and they keep their nose clean, and they do what they're supposed to be doing. You just have a handful, which you would have, I guess, in any kind of organization this size. You're going to have a few that are just going to be bad apples, you know, so you have to deal with them.
Would you like me to make you a band hammer?
Band hammers are nice. You should see my collection of Thor hammers, but, you know, I never get to use them.
So I can make you a band hammer. Steel or foam, whichever you want.
If I had one, it'd have to be foam.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, that, to answer your question, Misha, that's pretty much how it works. You know, I'm just going to say, too, you know, if people have issues, feel free to come to me. They can come to any council member, but typically I'm the guy they come to if they have a problem with someone else or, you know, something external. My door is always open, so to speak. My PM box is always open. I do my work exclusively on the forums. I know social media is a big deal, but I prefer to do everything on there because that basically is the core of the group, core of the club, is the forums. And that's where we do all our business, where I do my business. So, you know, people can contact me anytime, day or night, whatever. And it may take me a day or so to get back because, you know, real life has its issues to deal with, too. But I usually get around to handling everything that comes my way. So, you know, but I just want people out there to know that, hey, you got a problem, you know, get a hold of me and I'll see what I can do to help you.
Now, along with dealing with those issues, you also have an officer underneath you to help you out with those situations, right?
I do. We have a judicial officer. Bedlam X is his merc name. And we call Tommy in basically for, you know, special occasions when there's a tribunal, when there's something extremely serious. We basically try to keep a hands-off policy with the rest of the council. In other words, I'm sort of the go-between him and the people in the particular tribunal or whatever the situation might be. And that way, he's impartial. He's not a part of council, so he's impartial from that aspect. He's not swayed by anybody's opinions. And we trust him, you know, to make the right decisions. And I do have someone that helps out in those extreme cases.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the council works? And I know that's a really kind of simple question, but I've had a lot of recruits kind of mention to me that they're not really sure what the council is about and, you know, what the different positions are. And I realize that this is a discussion that could take hours, but maybe just a little bit of insight as to how things roll with the council.
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, the Allure is probably the most important guy on the whole council. The rest of them are pretty much, you know, pains in the butt. But just kidding. No, actually, it's a situation where, you know, you have all these people who work together but work separately because everyone, of course, has their expertise. So we come together in the council chambers, obviously, to discuss issues that concern the club. Pretty much people like, for instance, Sean will work on, you know, his tech aspect. And he keeps a lot of that, obviously, to himself because, first of all, a lot of us don't know or, you know, really care about how he's doing his job. But what I mean is if he has a serious issue or whatever, he'll bring it to council. Same goes for Rich or Saz or anyone else, you know, Tony or John. They'll bring it to council. We'll discuss it and see how it affects the club. If it's a decision we need to make, we vote upon decisions, you know, before it gets passed down, so to speak, before it's made law, if you want to call that. But that's pretty much how it is. It's just all of us working together but separate. And we just have, I mean, I don't know how Sean feels, but I got supreme confidence in everyone doing their jobs, and they do them well. So, you know, there's no worry on our part. And I can speak for Tom to say the same thing. There's no worry on our parts about how things are being done. The club's not going to run smoothly because it does, you know.
The only concern I have is that old Vart guy. I mean, he's getting pretty old.
Well, as long as his mouth still works, you know, he can contribute.
Yeah.
I think it's really one thing that really impressed me as a member coming in right from the get-go was it actually amazed me that as a just a member, I was able to talk to people on the council. And I'm a member of the 501st and the Rebel Legion too. And when I became I became a member of the 501st, fairly recently. But I actually was a member of the Rebel Legion first before I joined the Mandalorian Mercs. Little known fact. But it's interesting to me because I actually had a lot of trouble contacting, like, not just the local area command staff at the time, but even any of their other, like, their costuming judges and everything, and it was right. It was tough. And you know, I'm not saying that one is better than the other or anything like that. I think I just personally am amazed with how good of a job our council members do and really do try to stay connected with the membership.
Well, believe it or not, we do appreciate that. We appreciate that sentiment, not only from you, but anyone else that may feel that way. And like you said, I've never been a member of any other group, and not Star Wars anyway. And I do that for a purpose, for a reason. It's not because I have anything against any of the other groups, costuming groups. It's because as a Merc, I know how the Mercs work. I know how we hope it to work. And I don't want to confuse that with any other system that any other club may be using, because you hear a lot of unfair comparisons sometimes between, say, the 501st and the Mercs or the Rebel Legion, and me not having any experience with those other groups, that's all foreign to me. I just know how the Mercs work or should be working, put it that way. And, to me, the paramount thing in this group is to be open and be friendly. It doesn't cost anything to be friendly to anyone. It doesn't, it's simple to do. And my opinion is, if you can't do that, then you don't need to be in this group, because this is an open group, with people who are friendly and care for each other and have a lot to contribute, and they share, and that's the important part. And if you're in here for any other reason other than that, then you shouldn't be here, in my opinion.
Something that's always struck me is, I guess it's just kind of a good thing, is that, a couple of us, we've been around since, Frost, you've been around since like 2008, and so have 2007.
I. 2007.
Okay, 2007. I've been around since 2008. But the level of organization that goes into keeping things running, it's like there are folks who don't realize that this is all basically a non-paying job for a lot of us. Absolutely. Like those of us who work, on apps and whatever, that there's a lot of organization that goes into keeping this thing running. It's not just a loose association of Star Wars nerds. Like, there's paperwork involved.
Yes, exactly. There is. There's a lot of it,
More and more every year.
Yep.
I spend several hours a week on the forums, just doing what I have to do, not to mention just, cruising around, seeing what other people are doing, welcoming new recruits, because, that's a big thing. I can remember when I first started, not necessarily in the Mercs, because there wasn't that many of us, but the other groups I've belonged to and have for years now, when you first, you're noob out there, the newbie or whatever, and you're afraid when you post something that someone's either going to mock you or not take you serious or disregard your comment completely, and that's one thing about our group is, every time we get a new recruit in Florida, if I possibly can, I'll sign on to their introduction thread and welcome them, because I don't know, they know who I am, it doesn't really matter, but the point is that they see that
someone people, says hello.
Yeah, exactly. The people actually give a crap about their post, And I have been on some forums and on other hobbies where you could post something and it'd stay dormant for 2 or 3 weeks, no one answered or less, So I just don't think that's the way to treat people, especially if you have a forum, which is basically an open invitation to say, come in and, come inside and say something and we'll talk to you. That's what a forum's for.
Well, and it's also like an approval-based hobby, really. The way our club works is that you have to be, it's a social experience just in by virtue of the fact that you have to be approved. You have to submit your costume to be judged by other soulless humans like Ryan here.
Like me,
and so it takes a little bit of the edge off on new folks when they have somebody come in and be like, yo, how's it going, buddy? We're here to help you.
Yeah, we're here to help you. Here, let me give you some advice or whatever.
What have you done already, man?
Yeah.
Show us what you got, and we'll see if we can help you make it better.
Yeah, see, and that's easy to do, and it's, and I don't understand why some people don't do it. Some people make these hobbies, whether it be mercs or what have you, or even clubs, whether it be mercs or 501st, where they make it a lot harder than it needs to be. I mean, really, they do. Yeah. It's not that hard to have fun. It's not that hard to run this club correctly.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always, I mean, I've seen members come and go for various reasons, real life, or they just got bored with it and all that sort of stuff, but one thing that always got me about the requirements for membership for this club is once you're in, all that you need to do to stay in is just show up once a year.
That's right.
Really.
That's right.
Like, I mean, there are a couple, like,
stupid at events.
Yeah, that, but I mean, like, but that's, like, that is the minimum membership, is pop in on the forums every once in a while, you know, see what's going on, say hi, say, yeah, I'm still here, and then, yeah, show up to whatever convention you want to show up to that year,
yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah. No dues required.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if you don't want to become an officer, you don't have to. It's great.
If you are an officer and you don't want to be one anymore, you can stop.
Yeah, yeah. Someone will do the job for you.
And it's a meritocracy in a sense that, you know, if you strive, if you want to work your way up the ladder, then there are opportunities. I mean, you know, to do so. I mean, really, it's just open for whoever, you know, has the most, gumption or whatever you want to call it. Somebody wants to work hard and to do it, they can do it. They can get where they want to be, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have to have the right mindset. They have to have the right – it's got to be in their heart, so to speak, to do the right thing. And so, but, you know, the Mercs has really never really been about one person. And I was going to address that earlier when Misha was talking about, you know, how the clan started. You know, this clan is what it is. It's because of people like her and other people who make it. It wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, a handful of people that are responsible for it. It's everyone working together, you know, and it's good people working together. And that's what makes a great clan, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I often tell people you come for the armor, you stay for the people.
That's exactly right.
That's a really nice way to put it.
I have a number of friends who aren't even mercs anymore, but they still come. And they still show up, and they talk to everybody. And, you know, all the people who knew them when they were members are all like, hey, what's up, guys? And even the people who have no idea who these people are.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of
like, yo, you're a human.
It's kind of like the nerd mafia, because, you know, once you're in the family, you're in the family, you know? You can never really leave, you know? And if you try, it will send works out after you, so, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure we send Sean to your house and he gives you 10 bits or something.
The Leafs are on.
might not want to volunteer that information because I sense, you know, a lot of people being like, well, I'm going to quit then because that means Daxos will show up at my house.
With donuts.
He will show up at your house with donuts, but
Canadian stuff.
Yeah, it will be Canadian donuts, so it's not worth it. Just stand
up. Oh, whoa. Hey.
Hey, man, I've had Tim Hortons. It was disappointing.
So if I say I'm going to quit, does that mean that I will have a Canadian visitor who comes bearing donuts? Because if that's the case,
you have to come up to Comic-Con.
What?
You have to come up to my Comic-Con this fall. We've been over this.
I know. Oh, there's just so many things. There's all the things. I'm seriously
not to put you on the spot on the podcast all of a sudden.
Edit. I know.
Tell me when it is again. I know every time I'm like, when is it?
It's Halloween weekend.
Oh, you know what? We totally just planned our calendar out.
Don't have a passport.
Oh, you know, yeah, we totally.
You know what? I do have a passport. You know what? If you find housing for me, I may just show up.
Okay, you're coming. All mine have, no doubt.
Don't tempt me.
I'm not going because I'm not going to give up trick or treating.
You can
don't tempt me. I will figure out a way to get up there, and even if it means flying up like Friday and arriving like late Friday and having to hitchhike my way to wherever it is you live out in the mountains where there's moose on your doorstep and bacon on every breakfast counter, because that's my impression of Canada.
Wait, Sean's like a mountain man now.
Yeah, all of a sudden my geographical location has shifted 16 hours drive to the west because mountains.
You have a beard, right? National
Geographic taught me that Canada is all about mountains and glaciers.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that is fairly accurate. I've been there. Yeah. I can vouch for this. I saw a glacier in the middle of Ontario.
There you go.
It was
by Ontario, I mean Toronto. I was in Toronto, there was a glacier, I promise.
I'm telling you.
Was it an art sculpture, or were you there in the winter? And that was called snow.
Nice.
Which related to that, what is up with that university downtown in Toronto?
I don't know.
It is literally a glacier.
Yeah.
Made out of steel, so not literally.
I don't know, man. It's Toronto.
Figuratively, literally.
So, Rob, how many kits have you built?
Oh, Lord. Altogether, probably, I think, 7. And I'm working on number 8 right now, which is going to be a legacy kit. As a matter of fact, I created a duct tape dummy myself last week to help. And I bought every roll of duct tape that Walmart had, and I should have stopped, you know.
But you wanted all the duct tape.
But I wanted all, well, I needed all the duct tape. So, you know, there's nothing more humbling than seeing your torso replicated in silver tape, you know, in life size. Now I'm thinking, like, oh my God, this
I'm
is
going
worse
to
than
the
a mirror.
Gym.
This is like a 3D mirror. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to buy a gym. So, you know. But anyway, yeah, about 7 total. Not all for myself, obviously, you know, some for my children, some for friends, and some from other mercs. And I gave one set away years ago to a guy who was going to join. He never did. And, well, it happens, you know. He had good intentions. But, like I said, the one I'm working on now, which is a legacy set. And the only reason it's legacy is because I dig the clamshell aspect of it, the assembly, and it's going to be so much easier for me to wear.
It definitely adds mobility, and it's a pretty
it
fun
does.
Design.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, what are you doing for the paint color? Any idea on the paint scheme? You're going to keep
it? Yes. Well, kind of, sort of. I know that's not much of an answer, but you know, my son Drake, he did the Zabrak a few years ago at Celebration. And
which
we
was super cool.
It was kind of cool, I thought, you know. And it was kind of based on Savage Opress, or however you want to pronounce his name.
Savage
and,
Opress.
Yeah, I called him
because
Savage.
Creepy.
I think we're all going to
Clancy Brown.
Say it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clancy Brown. But Mr. Krabs, is that who he is?
the Kurgan.
Yeah, we joke, but that guy knows how to use his voice.
He does.
Medic.
But the part of the... Anyway, well, I lost my train of thought. There we go again. I'm derailed. No,
Clancy
the color
Brown
scheme,
will do that.
It was going to be more of a... Same as... along the same lines, because Drake is keeping his Zabrak aspect with the horns. So I was going to do something along the same lines. But I was going to combine a little of the... canon character Gar Saxon along with it, so I've got sketches which would bore you, you know, to tears, but I'm progressing along, let's put it that way. I haven't created a work in progress thread yet because I just don't have the time at the moment, you know, and I'm going to keep my main old Vart set anyway. This is going to be like a secondary kit, and once I get that approved, of course, you know, you'll see me in that more often too. But anyway, yeah, right now, color scheme, I always go for darker colors, although old Vart now is like a green and a gray and maybe some brown overtones with a lot of lacing. I think I want to go something a little more dark because that's all I wear all the time anyway. And I wear something like a long black or really a dark gray with some black accents, but we have the tribal tattoos that you see, Zabrak tattoos, that kind of thing. That tells
Very
you.
Nice.
Well, it was initially an idea.
Looking forward to it.
Well, it was an idea we had a few years ago, and I was trying to have one done for Celebrations where I could go with Drake, but it didn't work out that way, so he ended up being the only one to premiere, you know, a Zabrak costume. So, but I'm still holding on to the dream, so that's kind of what I'm going for.
What's your favorite part when you're building, like, since you've made so many, what do you really enjoy about building the kits? Like, what's your favorite part to build?
My favorite part to build, believe it or not, is a scratch built helmet. I've never bought a helmet, and there's no. I've never. I'm not against anyone who does because I know they're a lot of work. But to me, the helmet's the challenge. The whole kit matters, but to me, the helmet is the crowning piece, if you want to say, or that makes the most statement, because that's what people focus on when they first see you. You know, and of course, you know, when you sit your helmet down for a photograph, that's what people see. They don't see the whole kit. And to me, that's just an exclamation point in the sentence. So to me, scratch building helmets is always the most fun part. It's probably the most challenging also from a crafting aspect, I should say. But I would have to say that. I would have to say that part.
I'm going to go with you on that one just because I'm a helmet collector.
Well, they are a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, but you have to, you know, because I do my own sketches and my own drawings, and I have used the Wizard of Flight patterns for a basis, but then from then on, I've created my own on AutoCAD, which I'm fond of doing, because I work with AutoCAD every day anyway. That's what I've been doing almost 30 years now, so it gives me some, you know, I know how to use it, so I use that in my favor, and I create my own patterns and things of that nature, and create new designs and what have you. Not all of them come to fruition, but hey, you know, you can dream.
Yeah, for me, my favorite part's always actually been the chest plates. Like, I don't know why, because, like, technically, like, you look at it, and it's really the most standard part of the armor, usually, if you're doing, you know, depending on the area you're doing. But, yeah. So I've always just looked at it like, well, how can I make this still totally look like Boba Fett so little kids know what I am, but, you know, make it cool and awesome for other costumers to look at?
Right.
Like, I recently finished... I meant to get pictures of it at an armor party we had this weekend, but that didn't end up happening. But I actually ended up making, those of you who have seen my wife's kit, Ark, and a couple other people who have built the Vera plates, like those faceted, like, tanky-looking ones. I made a male set of that. And it actually came out pretty good. I'm pretty proud of it.
So that's awesome.
One of these days I'll get pictures up for it for you guys. Probably, like, next year or some business like that.
Tomorrow. Well, you know, to be honest, most kids, I mean, unless they're Star Wars fans anyway, you're going to be called Darth Vader or Power Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Or something along those lines anyway. So,
hey, now. Yeah.
That has gotten better, though. It has gotten better over the years.
Okay. I get Stormtrooper a lot, despite the fact that I'm black and silver. I get Stormtrooper a lot. I'm like, well, all right.
Weirdly, I've actually gotten more Mandalorian in the last 2 years than I had ever had previously.
Well,
including just a random dude at my office who was like, somebody was like, wait, what is he? Is he like Boba Fett or something? And then the other guy corrects him and goes, no, he's a Mandalorian. Like, he's a Mandalorian warrior or a mercenary or something. And I'm like,
that's pretty amazing. Yeah, the last few years I've seen the same thing. Because back in 2007 when we started this, you know, people knew
Space
who Boba Fett was. Yeah, exactly. People knew who Boba Fett was, but nobody could really put a name Mandalorian to it. And I think now, because the prevalence of Clone Wars and all these things in the interim, now people do know. They tend to know more about what's going on, you know. And I think it'll just continue to improve, especially with Disney and Lucasfilm, you know, pumping up the brand the way they're going to be doing. Get a lot more exposure.
Thank you, Dave Filoni.
Yes.
Yeah.
Filoni, we trust.
Yes.
You can call me Baloney. How about that?
In Filoni, we trust.
You can call me Rob Baloney.
All right, so moving on to our next chunk of subjects, we got a whole bunch of Star Wars news has happened very recently over the past month. One of the big ones, the thing that was probably furthest away, I guess, was the Force Friday. Which, let's be honest, was basically just, you know, Lucasfilm Valentine's Day, you know, Lucasfilm, you know, a merch day. They made up a holiday to sell their wares.
Yeah,
and I mean, like, I'm fine with it because I ended up getting a bunch of cool stuff, you know, like everybody else. But I was one of those people who actually went out like on Thursday night. Stood outside my local Toys R Us with like 8 other people, all of which I knew from around town, coincidentally. It's like I pulled up in my car and looked. I'm like, oh, hey, well, there's that guy's on the city council. Yeah, that guy shops at the store all the time. Yeah, that, okay. But,
That's dedication, my friend. That's dedication.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I know that a lot of other, at least in Maine, the reaction wasn't that amazing because, let's be honest, there aren't that many of us up here. So,
well,
like,
here in it's a little bit different, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, what was it, what was the reaction to that like anywhere near you guys, do you know?
Well, I didn't go out the night of. We actually had, but I had a lot of friends locally who were saying, like, oh, I'm gonna go to Toys R Us and stand there, and the day after, I decided I'd just go see kind of what was
left around and the places detritus. Like Walmart and I would I was curious because I wasn't sure what all was being I will fully admit that I wasn't following any of the Facebook posts or anything of all the cool stuff that was going to be out because I'm kind of I have limited space so when I buy swag it has to be something that I'm really super stoked about which is my polite saying usually it's Legos.
I agree with you. That's the way I am. I have swag, not a whole lot of swag, because I'm specific about what I buy.
There were a lot of Legos that came out.
I know.
Catching them all was less important to me than catching the cool stuff.
But the thing is I need to drive to Orlando to go to the Lego store because I have the VIP club membership, and then I get the points, and then I get the discount. So I knew I wasn't going to be buying any Legos, but I went, and I was... Honestly, because the first store I went to was a Walmart, and I went all over the Walmart going, where's all the cool Star Wars stuff? And they were like, oh, it's in the back in the layaway section. And in this tiny little hallway, they like had two displays, and I kind of sat there going, really? And they had a lot of stuff left. About the only thing they were sold out of was the black box figures. Mm-hmm. And then I went to where did I go? I think I went to a Target, and they had... They had like a cooler display area, and they had some neat like clothing and stuff. But again, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to buy all the things. It was just like, yeah, it's neat that they're doing this. But I tend to agree with the idea of it's a made up holiday that you know was all about buy the things. But I will say that I was expecting everything to just be like gone and completely sold out, and that was not it at all. There was so much stuff left, but things that people, I suspect, probably like bought up with either the intention to sell or perhaps the intention of like, oh, I'll hang on to these because they might go up in price, like the Funko Pop figures and things. I didn't see any of those. So yeah. Certain things did definitely sell out around here, but I was really surprised with how many things were still available.
So up in,
Walmart.
In Disney World. Or not Disney World, rather at the Disney store at the mall I go to, it was like a freaking disaster zone. Because they had...
Really?
Yeah, so they had gone... They went all stops, and they were like, hey, we're going to have as much random crap as we can for this Star Wars holiday. And I imagine it might be because they were being ordered to from on high.
Yes.
Because I get the feeling this money's going to make more money, this movie is going to make more money than has ever been made before by anything ever.
Probably.
It may have been like a Walmart thing too. You know, Walmart may have had an edict from Ohio to like overstock your store because our local Walmart, we don't have that many people in our city at all. You know, and they've got three of those Revan or whatever those crucifix Force Effects lightsabers, the $180 a piece. They've got three of them on the shelf.
Yeah,
I don't think ours even had those.
Nobody in town's going to buy an $180 lightsaber, not in this town, and they have three of them, you know?
Yeah.
Not to mention all the other stuff they have. I mean, it was just falling off the shelves. They had so much of it.
They had one remaining at the Disney store that I was at. I actually asked the guy. I was like, how many of these did you have? Because I was sitting there looking at it, thinking like, you know, this might actually be pretty nifty, and I'm sitting there trying to rationalize buying it before I realized I don't like Kylo Ren. His helmet's weird. I'm sitting there and I'm like, how many of these did you guys have? And he's like, oh, about 15. And I'm like, what? So that means that 14 people, possibly one person, came in and dropped something in the range of $28,000 on those things. Or sorry, not $28,000, excuse me, $2,800.
Wait.
I missed a zero.
You don't like Kyle?
Nah.
I can't even keep his name straight.
So, point is, it apparently depended upon your geography. Granted, I also live in a place that is full of tech, so I imagine that all the nerds turned out in force because there was serious coverage on places like Stack Exchange and Reddit and all that stuff, where people were like, oh my god, guys, it's Post Friday!
Oh, yeah.
I think they were more excited about it than we were.
Yeah, I was really surprised
because, like,
that's the vibe I got.
We have a Toys R Us in my, like, really close to where I work, which I don't know. I guess a lot of areas don't really have Toys R Us very much anymore, but we do have one, and they actually had a clock in the store with a countdown to Force Friday, and I just sort of sat there thinking, like, this is a little bit much. I mean, but again, you know, someone was really into it because they were completely sold out of what I saw. Mostly the places selling out of were like I said, the pop figures and then the action figures. And you know, there were a couple that were really cool. I picked up one of the new speeder bike troopers because there was, like, I totally went back to being like, gosh, I don't know, six or seven years old, and like remembering going to the store and seeing the action figures and just being like, oh, you know, oh yeah. My gosh. I mean, it was really cool. Like, it definitely brought a smile to my face and definitely made me kind of have that, like, oh, this is like bringing back some really cool memories. And now I'm an adult, and if I want to buy this, I can.
I still have some Kenner's action figures from the 70s that I bought or was bought for me at the time. I've got a Boba Fett, which is still in the package, and I've got one who's loose, and then Chewbacca. I can't think of all of them. We got several of them, but they're all early Kenners, you know, from the 77, 70, 78, 79, like that, you know. And I cherish those things, you know, but I don't take them out and play with them, obviously, but I just, you know, I'm glad I have them, and who knows, maybe one day they'll be a good investment. But I'm the same way. When I'm in there, I look at that, and there's no more rationalizing. I'm an adult now, and if I want to buy five, I'll buy five, or I won't buy one, or whatever. So,
yeah,
but it does take you back.
I totally bought the New Order Stormtrooper Nerf gun.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Even though I know, like, in my heart, like, looking at it, it's a Nerf recon, just turned sideways. Yeah. That's all it is. And I know in my brain that's all it is, but I don't care.
Couldn't help yourself.
Nope. They had a couple other ones. Like, they had a bowcaster Nerf, which I wanted to buy just to see how it worked, because it wasn't set up like all of the old Nerf crossbows were. Right. And then they had like a pistol as well. But if we're honest,
was it a DL-44?
It was not a DL-44.
Well, then they need to get out.
Given time, that was only three. That was just the launch day.
I was going to say, it's just started.
Probably the most interesting thing that I saw about Force Friday in general, though, is that all of the toys, you know, they're putting out these characters we haven't actually seen yet. And a lot of them had to have names, or, you know, they were like, the Millennium Falcon Lego set came with a couple of, like, generic pirates. And they actually had, like, the Lego pirate pistol, like the flintlock pistol piece.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
I laughed my butt off at that. But
yeah, I found myself
kind
of asking, like, you know, who are these people? No, I don't really want to know, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. And it's just like, wait, why?
But no, I kind of don't want to know.
Now you're looking at it and you're like, wait, why are there pirates with the Falcon set? Oh, God.
Right, exactly.
The possibilities are endless.
And actually,
they are.
So there's also something that just came out today, the day we were recording, which is
Wednesday,
September 23rd. But there was actually a thing they released just today on Star Wars' Facebook page, where they have a sort of cinematic fudgesicle ride. Mm. But
in
it's
360,
like,
right?
Yeah, and it's in 360 3D. I have no idea what they wrote that in to get it to run on Facebook's terrible platform.
It doesn't work on mobile, though.
It does not work on mobile, but everybody should feel free to check it out. But there was a whole bunch of stuff with, like, scavengers running around on whatever the name of the planet is.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but because I just, as you all, as the podcasters know, I get home from work and then immediately podcast. But I did see a little blip come up on trending saying, you know, oh, there's this new thing. I'm very interested to check that out because they were saying scavengers and everything. And
it's beautiful, actually. It looks really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it well, yet. I'm kind of of the same opinion as Misha, where it's kind of like, I do want to see stuff, but I don't know if I want to know that much before the movie comes out.
Yeah. I mean, it's because we live in an age where it's really easy to know, like, everything. And it's not that I mean, I do, but I don't, and,
That's why, yeah, I know what you mean. That's why I don't even know the correct names, is because I don't do any reading ahead of time. I don't want to know the plot lines. I don't even know what a character is, if I can help it, until it actually comes out. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'll be surprised, like, everyone.
Yeah, it,
to me,
I'm right there with you.
I'm well, still
to me,
secretly...
it'll feel more like the original... It'll feel more like the original release in 77 to me, because I remember going there as a kid to see that at the theater, you know, and I had no idea what anything was about, and it was awesome, you know. Of course, mm-hmm. you look back on it, the technology and the effects are pretty lame. Not really, but, you know, compared to today. But at the time, I was an excited little kid, you know, and I kind of look forward to that in this new release. That's why I avoid reading or watching or doing anything, you know, other than the trailers, and that's about it. And you can't learn a whole lot from the trailer anyway, so, you know.
I still thoroughly believe that they're trolling us, and most of these names are fake.
You never know.
Like, I'm the odds of it at this point, especially now that they've put out merch and that they would have to, like, completely design new boxes for all of these toys, it's pretty unlikely. But, you know, I got hopes, because I think I'm the only person who thinks this, but I think Jakku is a really stupid name for a planet.
Jakku, that's it. And it is a stupid name for a planet.
Wow.
Like, I
yeah.
mean, granted, Tatooine really ain't, ain't amazing either.
Naboo was a pretty stupid name also.
Yeah. Like,
Naboo's right up there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there are a lot of names that have been out before that are really kind of sad. Like, let's be honest. Oh, we got this character. He's a smuggler. He's really kind of a loner. He's really only got one friend, and he doesn't even speak English. What do we call this guy? Han. Okay, Han's a good name. But how do we like, bring this loner out in just his name? Oh, Solo. Like, I mean, it's not genius.
The question is, do we need another desert planet? Did they have to create one more desert planet?
Well, that's my confusion. Yeah, it's just like, why would you bother? I mean, there's going to be another snow planet.
And again,
I'm assuming it's not Hoth. They haven't said what it is yet.
Kind of hope it's Hoth.
I mean, hope it's Tatooine, and I hope it's Hoth, because can't you come up with some other ecosystems? I hope you just use the ones you got.
There's only four elements to choose from, so, I mean, they're making the most of it.
Now, what they need to do is start having planets that don't just have one single...
Yeah, one single planet-wide ecosystem.
God creates an entire planet with only one geographical feature.
Yeah, even on Earth, we have more than that.
Well, and I mean, they sort of did better with Episode 3 when we finally go to Kashyyyk. Like, they,
There's both a beach and trees.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Like, Endor just had trees. Actually, to be honest, other than Naboo, where we go underwater, that's the only planet that we actually see two ecosystems.
Well, on Naboo we see, like, a swamp and a city, and that is the content of Naboo.
Yeah. But, anyway.
I think Coruscant would be my favorite anyway. Coruscant's got the coolest, it's the coolest of all.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, that or the Death Star. Well, yeah.
Well, it's the same basic thing. It's just a giant. It's a giant city somewhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
Moving on to our next bit of news. Was it 2 weekends ago now? Was Dragon Con? I
got to ride in the speeder.
Yeah, you got to ride in the speeder.
I did.
I do legitimately want to know, like, was there just a raffle, or, like, how'd that work, or did you, like, mysteriously trip?
No, there was a raffle, and...
Did you hurt your ankle or something?
No, going back to the subject we were talking about earlier, that there is work involved and whatnot with this group, you also have to pay for this stuff. meaning that it costs a lot to transport the speeder down, so a raffle was held to help cover the costs. I bought 5 tickets. I guess there was about 100 tickets sold. Wow. So I got lucky. 1 in 20, I guess. So
awesome.
Hooray!
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it was just kind of like, it's one of those things where, yeah, whatever. I was just throwing in gas money. Yeah. Like, here you go, you know, have a good one. And I had no idea. I had actually already left.
Now, wait.
And they're like, oh, hey, like, you won. Won what? So we got up early, helped Tom set up the speeder and all that, get everything set up with the trailer. And we ended up having to take our kits with us, which meant I wore pretty much everything in the speeder so that when we got out for the pictures afterwards, we'd have everything with us. So a big chunk of Tom's armor was sitting on my legs, and I was pretty much in full kit except for a back plate, which not the best decision I've ever made, because the Dragon Con parade is always a form of pain. Yeah. Riding in the speeder with all your kit is another form of pain.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a reason that Tom was only wearing the top half of his.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, upside, you didn't have to walk, and yeah.
I didn't have to walk, and it was awesome. Yeah. Yes, it was another form of pain, but it was so worth it. It was the best $25 I ever spent.
And you got to ride with Tom with no pants on. Yeah. How can you beat that?
Whoa, 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 hold on there, pal. There were pants involved.
Okay.
Now,
just lower armor, okay, I got you.
Now, who was it? Who was it that got to man the gun on that? That was someone that I don't personally recognize.
Well, that's the fun about going to Dragon Con every year. You make all kinds of new friends, and, well, this one, I can't remember his name. One of the newer guys, but he got the gun, and I got to work the touch screen and make all the sound effects.
Which was super cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know the Scout Walker Command Tower?
What?
It was one of the rarest Star Wars toys ever. It was
six of them. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it was a giant tower that you put up in the backyard, and it had a speeder bike swing on the bottom, and it had a soundboard in it. And I had one of those when I was a kid, like 8 years old, and I'd sit there and hit all the laser sounds. And I was pretty much 8 years old again. Just hitting all the sound effects on the touch screen and all that, and like, we're the generation that we haven't grown up.
No,
we've gotten older. Our toys have gotten larger. Now we're the action figures, and we have vehicle playsets.
That's true.
Like, I think that's the way to do it, personally.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I was the action figure in the vehicle playset with the sound effects. My inner 8-year-old was just, all right, life was fulfilled.
And you knew that if it broke, Tom would have to fix it.
Right.
I think that was the best part.
That's the best part.
I think we actually did lose a tire on there at the end. I don't know. I never got the rest of the story yet. We might have had a flat, but yeah, it made it. It was a big hit. Everybody loved that thing. And it was worth everything that everybody put into it.
Oh yeah, well, like having a centerpiece for a parade is it makes even something like the Dragon Con parade, which is already really impressive, just that much cooler. Like that just makes it so much better to have some. Like obviously people are gonna look at you. You look cool. You look awesome. You got your gun. You got your helmet. And if there's like seven of you there, you look great. But then if you're doing that and you're escorting a small tank, it's just better. But back to Dragon Con. Like, what else other than the usual shenanigans that always come around with Dragon Con? Anything particularly special happen to the non-parade section?
It was kind of, you know, the normal Dragon Con thing is you go there and you just meet all the new people, and you get to see a lot of old friends. You know, I want to say it was the Marriott. The Sunday night before, they gave us a nice section on the 10th floor, and it was our little space. We went up there and spent Sunday night, kind of a meet and greet thing.
Bought a ton of pizza.
ton of pizza. And yeah, Dragon Con is always a good thing. I mean, it's always an experience.
Mm.
It's one of those things that put it on your bucket list if you don't go. You know, just go once just to kind of experience it, because it's a 4-day Halloween party.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
nerd Christmas.
Yeah, you'll see things you cannot unsee.
Yeah, that is true. I have seen things that will scar me for life. Mostly at night.
In a good way.
No. And one thing that is coming down the pipe, and everybody should see it within the next week, so by the time this airs, it should be on the trading station. The artwork that we did for Celebration, apparently it was more popular than I could have anticipated, and it's been decided to go ahead and do another limited run of 113x19 copies that are going to be available on the trading station soon enough. It's different in the logos and whatnot from the Celebration artwork. We went ahead and changed it up so that you can differentiate the two, but a lot of people want it and wasn't expecting that. It's usually just, hey, here's some nice, cool swag that you can have, but that one had more of an impact than I could have expected. So there'll be another 100 copies available by the time this comes out.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, they've already been printed. I'm really just waiting for them to get shipped down to our quartermaster.
Awesome.
So she should have them within a week.
Awesome.
So
yeah,
I'll see her this Friday. I'll try to get a free copy.
Yeah, I got the word that all, the printing is done. They just got to get them to FedEx.
Excellent. So,
nice. That sounds great. Well, again, I'll work for that.
And again, it's one of those things. I don't get a dime for it. I've been doing the Celebration artwork now for, well, it's like the fourth or fifth time or something like that. It's just,
yeah, doing it quite well, I might add.
Yeah, thanks. But this one, it turned out to be really popular, so we got some more out there for those who want it. And again, any proceeds go to benefit the Mercs and the Little Warrior Fund, all for charity. I'm not getting a dime, as it should be.
That's the spirit that we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
So it makes it great.
Speaking of Celebration stuff, Celebration London is still a thing. Apparently, both adult and child 3-day tickets are gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the weekend passes. Like the adult tickets sold out like within that week, if not within the day. But
gotta get pretty pictures ready for that one too.
But the like single day passes, last I checked, are still available, and you can still get 2-day passes and stuff like that. You can still totally go. If I had the ability, if I had the funds to go fly over, I would totally do that. Because that's like the Vok Chi guys. They're a blast.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, every time that I've ever run into them at both of the celebrations that I've been able to attend, they're just a riot. And especially where it's in their backyard, it's sure to be a good time. I'm sure they're going to have a ridiculous booth set up.
Oh, undoubtedly, yeah.
And
is there a 2-day pass? I didn't think there was.
Well, I don't think there's specifically a 2-day pass, but you can buy two passes for blah blah blah, you know, that sort of thing. That's still totally available.
I believe Saturday for the adults though is already sold out.
Probably. I mean, as everybody,
3-day and the Saturday is sold out, so it's just Friday and Sunday you can get.
Yeah, but that being said, they cram a lot of stuff into these celebrations. Like, Saturday is not the day to go. Like, if you end up going on Friday or on Sunday, you're gonna get a lot of good stuff in your face, for your eyes and your hands and your body, your whole body. If you want Star Wars for your body, go to a celebration.
Oh my.
See, that's I want George Takei to go to one of those just cuz, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that he's never done anything Star Wars. I don't care.
Yes, he has.
Oh wait, yeah, well, he voiced something, didn't he?
Yeah, he did some Clone Wars stuff.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, he was the Defoliant guy.
The what?
Like the Nemoidian.
Oh right, yes. Yes, that's true. Fair game. Get us George Takei.
That's right. That's right.
I want to shake that man's hand.
Let's start a petition.
You know?
Bring George Takei. Because I want to hear it. Oh, my.
Oh my. Let's see. The next item that we've got going on, Rebels Season 2, that's coming out really soon. That'll actually, I believe the air date for that is October 2nd. Or no. No, that was the day it was confirmed. My mistake. It's October 14th.
That's going to be so good.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Yeah,
yes, and I see they've updated Sabine's outfit, so, yep. Well, I guess we get to write CRLs for that now.
Yep. A couple people are already working on them. Saw that bunch of people.
The work never ends.
No.
But
as long as it doesn't, everything's fine.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the season premiere, they put that out over the summer. Definitely watch that. It's good.
It's the only episode I've ever seen.
But it was worth it, right?
Yeah, it is worth it. It was good.
It was good.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Like
I was a little bit, it was a little bit slow in the first season as far as I was concerned, but this second season appears to be on track to be really good. So we'll see what happens.
Kind of like Clone Wars, it got better as it went along.
It got better as it goes along, exactly.
Well, now that they've got the characters built up, and you're invested in these people, and they're interesting characters, so they can just finally be like, okay, so now we need a real bad guy.
Let's go do stuff.
Let's have a real bad guy, like, I don't know, Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Let's get James Earl Jones. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
And
as long as they have a little touch of darkness to it, that's
on it. It
that's
looks,
a big appeal.
It
to
looks
a lot
like
of people.
It looks like they're really not messing around with Vader. It's not like he's gonna suffer from villain decay. Day two.
Freaking Vader.
Yeah, it's not gonna be like Grievous where he's just shaking his fist at the Jedi.
Twirling his metal mustache.
No, like he's already attempted to choke out Kanan and Ezra. Oh. I mean, we've only been in one episode.
Attempted, I'm pretty sure he had that on lock.
He did. He did choke them, but I mean they didn't die.
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet. Guaranteed more of that's going to happen, and I'm not mad. But we'll see if we can get
the Inquisitor was cool, but he's no Darth Vader.
No.
But who is, really?
Darth Vader.
Yeah, I was about to say, on the scale of 1 to Darth Vader, how Darth Vader are you?
That's right.
Dave Frazen. James Earl Jones.
Yeah, okay. Yep. That's the hierarchy. Are you Darth Vader... Are you James Earl Jones? Are you David Prowse? There is no further extension on that scale.
Yeah.
Yep. Good now.
Hayden Christensen? No.
Hey,
don't lie though. Chad Vader can do a decent James Earl Jones impression.
Yeah.
They actually got him. He did the voice in Force Unleashed.
Yep. Yeah, no, there have been, I am so happy that they did get James Earl Jones.
Thank God.
I'm so happy about that, but but there have been actors who have done Vader.
I did not know that until I saw it, and then Vader opens up, and I'm like, "What?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the reaction we had.
Yeah,
mind blown.
They're like, "Wow, dude!" It's like, "Wow, that voice is really... Oh my god!"
Yeah, we had to immediately Google it to see if that was really him.
Yeah,
I could just tell. I was just like. Oh my. And then that was the end of the session. I couldn't finish it. Me could not talk anymore because it was so mind blowing.
Oh yeah.
Baseball.
It was just it's beyond words how awesome that is. But
kids, come on.
We'll see how that goes. I'm sure the season's going to be great. The trailers that we've all seen at this point, the stuff that they unleashed at Celebration 7 with the clones coming back and Ahsoka's back and I'm not going to lie.
That's
the thing that
makes me happiest. That really is. That the fact that they have carried the Ahsoka character forward and that now she has some of the best character development in the series.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yep. And honestly, I'm really hoping that they give her the treatment she needed in Clone Wars, and people are going to get upset at me because people really like Ahsoka, but she needs to die. That's the thing that needs to happen to that character. And it's not because she's done anything wrong. It's just because that's
the emotional arc.
Yeah, that's got to
Vader.
It's got to come back around.
How does this not happen?
Yeah, like, that's kind of inevitable. The dude is a Jedi hunter, and like, if there is one, there are only two Jedi that he is that close with. One of them's Obi-Wan, who we know he never freaking finds until they meet up on the Death Star, and Ahsoka.
Yep, and that's the thing, is that he needs to. It's going to be the most poetic thing in the world, and it's also, like, I'm hoping it's the season 2 finale, because that would be absolutely masterclass.
I'm okay if they carry it out.
Yeah, if they try and stretch it a bit, if they try and stretch it into season 3 or, you know, however long Disney wants this to go, I wouldn't mind, but that is the only end.
Or I think it will be interesting to see what they do with it, because what you all might not quite understand, or maybe understand's the wrong word, but maybe recognize, is Ahsoka is a character that a lot of women really like.
Oh, yeah. She is actually a legitimately good, strong female character.
I'm not necessarily one of them, because, like, in some parts of the Clone War, I really wanted to take her and throw her off a cliff. But she's really grown on me, and I think she's really developed as a character. And I have to admit, I'm curious to see. I'm very encouraged by the fact that the story arcs are bringing in more ladies who, you know, it's not that Padme wasn't great, because she was, but you know, when you throw in those whole, like, the whole love triangle and everything, I'm kind of the opinion of that's awesome, or not love triangle, sorry, but the whole love issue, it's like, that's awesome and I get it and everything, but let's maybe have a lady character that doesn't have any kind of romantic like storyline and is just kind of a badass. And I think it's kind of neat that they've been able to do that with some of the more recent characters, and I'm interested to see if they'll be able to, like, if they will kill her off, or maybe they'll keep her around to kind of keep on. I mean, I agree with you guys. I think that she probably does need to die. But it's interesting to me, because I want to see if they're going to kind of keep her around so that they can continue to have that strong female character, or maybe that's, you know, a role Sabine and Hera are going to pick up.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I'm never going to be mad about seeing more strong female characters, but that show is already, like, swimming in strong female characters.
Yeah, you've got
characters.
Both Hera and Sabine. I don't think that's necessarily as big an issue. I do believe you, and I do agree that Ahsoka is, like,
rad.
There's a lot of people who like Ahsoka because she is an empowered woman who don't need no man.
And you know what? If they let her just walk off into the sunset and disappear to her own desert planet or whatever, man, that's awesome too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I won't be mad.
Yeah. Nope. I just wish that they had avoided the temptation of making Ezra a Jedi, solely because I really wish that they would. That was something that always really bugged me about the. About the EU was that it robbed a lot of the value, like the narrative value, of Darth Vader, where the whole idea was Darth Vader is supposed to be the last Jedi around who is still, like, actually toting around a lightsaber with intent to do harm, you know?
Well, that, like, and one of the things that I always ran into was, especially this happened to a whole bunch of characters over the course of their development, like Corran Horn. As a great example, like, he was a cool character to start with, X-Wing pilot, ex-cop, Corellian, great. Oh, now he's a Jedi.
The EU was pretty much just fan fiction.
Oh, yeah, no, it was 100% fan fiction. It was like, oh, what if Star Wars had
I will hear no speech against Timothy Zahn.
No, I'm not, saying it was Tim bad. Zahn. I've met Tim Zahn.
Tim Zahn, and, Tim Zahn, very nice guy, and he's one of the authors in the EU, him and Kevin J. Anderson. I like their stuff. I like Wraith Squadron. I like Rogue Squadron.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of crap in the EU.
Yes.
And you can't deny that.
Han Solo at Star's End.
Yeah.
So,
but, just,
and I understand, you know, when they said, hey, the EU, we're getting rid of it, we're not, we're, well, they didn't really get rid of it. We're just saying, we're going to ignore this stuff, but we're still going to make money off it. Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. And it was getting so convoluted, and there was so much, like, was it Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mendor or something like that?
Yeah, that, I read that.
That was just god-awful.
That was just an attempt for them to combine a bunch of their old properties into some kind of semblance of a continuity.
And yeah, it was terrible.
It did not really work.
Absolutely,
like,
terrible.
I mean, I didn't mind reading it, but it was just like, this really didn't help at all.
Now, the Zahn stories, I've read, you know, the Thrawn trilogy, I don't know how many times now. I'm still reading it. I've got it on my Kindle. I'm rereading it.
The only books I've ever reread of the Star Wars EU are X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just Rogue and Wraith.
Mm-hmm.
And the Zahn books.
Yeah, because they're good. They're just legitimately good novels. But there's just so much crap in the EU. I'm okay if that goes away. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that, man. Yeah. I would, too. Just get rid of that. Yuuzhan Vong, get rid of them, please. They were terrible.
Now, the funny thing is that I actually think that, in general, we as fans of Mandalorians had an easier job with all this.
That was the hard part, is we lost Karen Travis's work.
Well, I personally think Karen Travis's writing was terrifying, but
I thought she was brilliant.
I liked it. But we did have, like, some of the EU that we had around Mandalorians was some of the worst of the EU.
Yeah,
there was a lot of fan fiction going on,
like,
there too.
The old Marvel comics, like the back before when they owned it the first time, like with the City of Bone and the Suprema, that sort of stuff. Like, it just it was written for a time, and that time expect those to be good.
That was during the Green Bunny days.
Yeah,
what do you expect?
Oh.
Yep. Which, coincidence, that's also gone.
What are those guys called? I'm trying to remember. Hold on, they had a name.
Oh, the Green
The Leppies?
Bunny.
No,
the
one.
Leppy, that's it. Yeah. It's the Leppy.
Yeah.
Like, all I need to know is Green Bunny.
Yeah.
That's,
like,
that's
so
all
that
matters.
I think we can all agree that, and there's no need to be mad at that anymore. But, next bit of news, Star Wars Uprising. I don't personally, I haven't played it because I don't have, like, an iPad or a phone that's big enough to play it on. Like, happily, but it's actually a fully fleshed out, like, almost KOTOR feely RPG for mobile devices. Like, I haven't
played. The way I describe it to my friends is it's Star Wars Diablo for your phone.
Yeah,
that's a really good description.
Yeah.
Now I want to play it.
Yeah, it is fairly literally Star Wars Diablo for your phone, including loot explosions. And
I may or may not have been playing it during this podcast.
Yeah, I haven't personally played it. I've seen a couple of my friends play it.
I'm playing that other Star Wars game.
Jarek up here and Wampa, he has it, and I saw him playing it while we were at a table at our latest convention. Which was fine. Normally, like, you sort of, like, frown on people just playing on their tablets at the table, but if that tablet's just making lightsaber sounds and blaster noises, it's all good.
Clearly, he's watching a Huffball game.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. But
it's definitely one of the nicer games like that I've seen come through for the iPhone in a while, and I think it's. What I think is really exciting is you can form, like, little cartels. And so we actually have a BVC cartel. So some of the recruits and some of the official members are kind of all playing together on that. So it's kind of neat. Like, kind of harkens back to some of the older gaming days.
Yeah, I think Firestorm Clan, I think they've got one on there, too. I saw someone post on Facebook about it. Most of them, like, if you want to find the mercs on any sort of online Star Wars game, you'll find us.
Well, and also, look for the Skaradas. Typically, if you look for the Skaradas, Mareels, and Ordos, you'll find them. Yep. Or alternatively, just start looking up random people's forum names, because you will come up with results.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, if you search by, well, not my forum name. Well, actually, maybe, but if you search by my character's name, you'll...
Yeah, your forum name works too, Mish.
Oh, good. Well, good to know. Thank you. For stalking? No, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The person told me to find you by it.
I know. It's one of those things that's it's got the usual drill of a phone game where, you know, you can pay $5 and get extra special fancy armor and things like that, or you can just play it and play different missions each day, and you can get all different types of equipment and level up. There's even sort of a bodyguard armor that looks vaguely familiar. Which is what my character rocks, because it looks pretty murky, and it's pretty fun to wear. So,
and believe it or not, they also allow you to wear stormtrooper armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up when you get into some of the higher levels. So it's a lot. It's kind of a fun little time killer. The other game that came out recently is the Disney Infinity 3.0, and the big news with that one was that they did a star. Actually, it released with two different Star Wars kind of play sets. Yep. One that is based on kind of the first three episodes, and then one that's based on, you know, 4, 5, and 6. And I've been having a lot of fun playing it. Of course, you know, it's not a game.
It is a child's game.
It is.
Its target audience is 10 and under. But that being said, like, I've bought the Sabine figure myself just because it looks really cool.
But have you played it though, Ian?
I honestly never have.
Yeah.
I know it's a sandboxy game, and it's, I mean, like, look at all the games that are quote unquote for kids that are out there that we all play.
Before you kind of say, like, oh, it's a kid's game when you haven't played it, what I would recommend is check it out, because I kind of thought that too. I was like, I don't know if I'm really going to like this. Like, it looks really cartoony. It looks kind of silly. And it is pretty kidsy, but it's kind of neat. Like, you get to ride around on Tauntauns and Banthas, and at one point we were throwing Ewoks at each other. I mean, because it is kind of a kid's game, you can do all sorts of, like, kind of fun stuff
zany
with it.
Things.
And, yeah, and zany is a good way to put it. And it's kind of one of those things where it's not Battlefront. It's not going to be, you know, super intense, amazing gameplay where it's realistic and like you're almost in the movies. But it's kind of silly, and we've had a lot of fun. A bunch of my friends have been playing it here at the house, and I'm sorry, but any game where I can have Boba Fett flying through It's a Small World is, you know, pretty fun, I think. So it's very, very silly, and if you dig kind of some of the Disney canons too, they do combine pretty well, and they actually do a really nice job of playing out the levels from the different movies as well. So that's a lot of fun too. So if you're just looking for a game that's fun, and the figures are pretty neat, it was nice to add to the collection.
Still calling it a kid's game.
You can call it a kid's game. I mean,
he probably just self-identifies as a kid, so
I think the thing is I really thought, oh, this is going to be a kid's game and I'm going to hate this. And I was pleasantly surprised with how fun it was. Does that make sense?
No.
Like,
yeah. Yes, it makes sense. It does make sense.
Normally if something is just, oh, that's just a kid's game, like I'm not necessarily involved with it, because I work with children and I spend a lot of my time playing with children. So when I get home, like, sometimes I'm like, I would like to, you know, read something that's on a little bit of a different level. But while that aspect of play is there, there also is a lot of stuff that you can do in the game that's a lot of fun. And I don't know, it's kind of been fun to fly around in a TIE fighter and like walk around in an AT-ST and shoot wampas. So yeah, it's kind of different. It's a little bit of a different approach than they normally do for their games. So, I recommend checking it out. Except not Crow, because he thinks
Well, my only problem with the game is just the main thing, and the main reason why I haven't tried it is just the business model of it. Not to say that it's bad, like, because, I mean, totally, if I had the ability to just rake in loads of money, I would do it all day. But just I personally don't want to go and buy a game and then buy all of the cool characters that I like. Because, I mean, version 2.0 was Marvel, so they had all kinds of awesome figures that came out with that, and each part of the game is each figure unlocks part of the world, and you can do missions specific for that character, and you can bring your other models in with it. So, I mean, the expansion nature of it is really cool. Like, each figure blister that you buy is an expansion pack. So, I mean, it's not like you're buying a figure and then just playing with a little plastic figure on your TV screen. It does expand the game every time you buy one. But I'm just not of the mind to do that, because I know I'll get hooked on it.
So that's the truth.
I played Pokemon cards until I was 25. I mean, let's be honest. I get hooked on crap like that.
So last week?
No.
What I liked, though, was even in the sets that you wouldn't normally expect, like, all of the Rebels characters can be unlocked in the Empire set. So, like, you can play Sabine on Hoth, and you can play Sabine on Endor, which is kind of neat. And you actually don't, like, you're absolutely right. Like, the business model is, I mean, it's super smart.
Oh, yeah.
But they have kind of set things up so that you can, you know, you can use certain characters in all the levels, and I really like that about it. And actually, characters from 2.0 and 1.0 will work on the community created levels and also in the toy box.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I can't play Stitch in, you know, Endor or Hoth in the game, but there are like community levels that have been created that are very similar, and so I totally had, you know, Stitch riding around with Iron Fist on a Tauntaun. So. I gotta admit, it was you know, it was fun. I had fun with it. But
Frost is all like fan fiction Frost with toys.
I know.
I don't think I can get behind Iron Fist going on a date with Stitch. I'm sorry.
He wasn't. Oh my god! If my husband heard you say that, he would be really offended. He was not on a date. They were teaming up. They were, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. It was who he was playing and who I was playing. I don't know. I was
no
leveling up.
Yeah, I can't say.
I have no problems at all.
That is about all that we have for the October edition of Keldabi Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. On behalf of myself, our special guest, Old Vart, and the cast here, Pinocchio, Misha, Frost, and Thaxos, thank you for listening, and tune in next month.
Bye.
All right.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.